eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own? Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It is Monday, March 11th, and we are here trying to help you make better, different, maybe the same financial decisions. We, Mark Talercio and I, Jill Schlesinger, we're both certified financial planners, and we love to hear from folks. Now, Mark, I just have to tell you that in my never-ending role at CBS News as Aunt Jill slash financial planner in-house, I had to tell you about a story that I heard that was pretty amazing. So a young producer who got pitched whole life insurance, which she purchased and has been paying into for 3 months. There is absolutely no need for insurance, zero need for insurance. And get this, she's trying to save for a house. And the insurance person said, oh, you should use this policy. That's how you can save for a house. What are your thoughts on that, Mark?
First of all, thankfully she cut her losses sooner rather than later. But how the heck did she even get involved with a financial planner at this stage of her life?
You know, it's just sort of somebody, you know, that's the thing. It was like somebody told her that she should try. And what's really most upsetting about the whole chain of events, this person, according to the woman who spoke to me, that the advisor was a certified financial planner. And I can't for the life of me understand how a certified financial planner would actually interact with a 32-year-old single person and sell that person a whole life insurance policy to accumulate funds for what? I mean, I just have no idea. And I just wanted to call this out in our conversation today before we get started, because I want people to understand that when you are pitched a product, and you're wondering, like, is this really right for me? Don't wait till after the fact. I mean, if it is after the fact, fine. But please, please, please know that you don't have to do anything. And as Mark said, it was pretty easy that to like cut the losses and lose a few hundred dollars, fine. Just to also like really this person tried to the advisor person really tried to press it saying that this woman should also buy supplemental disability insurance, even though she works for a huge company with very good disability insurance. Anyway, all that to say, please, 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 if you are being pitched something, do not hesitate to give us a holler. Go to our website. It's very easy, jillonmoney.com, jillonmoney.com. Click the Contact Us button and let us know how we can help you out, because we do not want you at all to be in a situation where you're like, oh, how is this possible, right? Like, what has happened to me? When she canceled the policy, would you like to know what happened?
Well, I'm sure it didn't go over well.
So this is what the note was that I got back. Hi, Jill, or I'm going to now start officially calling you Auntie Jill. Thank you for your time, attention, and advice today. I closed the two insurance policies, declined the supplemental disability coverage. As expected, and you promised, I got sassed by the person at the other end of the line. She said, quote, are you really going to be a future homeowner with no life insurance policy backing you? And I responded, at this time, yes. She then tried to remind me that this was not really for saving. It was for retirement and I could borrow against it. And you know what she wrote? This is so true. My heart is still elevated, but I can't let her rock my boat any longer. Thank you. How about that? Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I told her, consider herself unshackled. Anyway, give us a holler if you have any questions like that, especially insurance-related questions. We really want to hear from you before you make big decisions like that. Not term life insurance, permanent life insurance. Okay, let's go talk to patient Josh, who's on the line from California. And hopefully, Josh, there's no big insurance question or problem lurking in your financial life. But if there is, we'd be happy to help you. So what's going on?
I have a few just questions, one about retirement savings and then one about what to do with a recent inheritance.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, Josh, how old are you?
I am 39, single, no kids, never been married.
Well, with an inheritance, if you'd like to be married, perhaps we can do something for you. You know, I just read this article in the New York Times about how there are more and more people who say, like, you know, I'm really happy and single. So you idiots who keep trying to fix me up, don't fix me up. So I'm not going to fix everybody up. But anyway, if you're happily single, wonderful. And you're 39 years old and working?
Yeah. So I work at an adult school inside of a prison, which is kind of unique. So, I work for the state of California.
Oh, that's amazing. So are you trained as a teacher?
Yeah. So I taught for 5 years in public school and then got tired of kind of dealing with all that comes with that and had an opportunity to move to a better area and get paid more money. Wow. And so I jumped on that.
It seems like a hard job, though. Like, I don't know. Why am I making that judgment? Teaching prisoners? You mean that, like, 10-year-olds are more frightening than convicted folks?
I would say, this will shock you probably, that I feel less stressed in here than dealing with parents and the lack of discipline sometimes in some of the school
Wow. So, that's quite a statement. So your 5 years in the public school are now, are those transferred into a system where you're in a pension system in this job?
No, but I can retire from both at the same time. So those 5 years I'm vested. Mm-hmm. So I still get those 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then when I retire from PERS, I can retire from both at the same time. So I'll get a little chunk from STIRS, and then from PERS, I'll get a majority of it.
Okay, great. And how much do you earn, Josh?
I earn before taxes and all that stuff about $150.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of money when you're talking about teaching. That must have been a significant increase, right?
Yeah, it was like $40,000 or $50,000 more.
Holy smokes. Okay, so of that $150,000, what happens? Like, how much do you contribute to the pension, and what other kind of saving are you doing for retirement?
Yeah, so I max out my 457B mm-hmm. every month, mm-hmm. And then they take taxes and insurance and yada, yada, yada. So take home ends up being, and I claim zero, take home ends up being around $6,900 to $7,000, just kind of depending on a few things.
Mm-hmm. And is that a good number for you? Do you have debt? Are you living large? How's that been for
you? That's about perfect. Definitely not living large, but I do like to go to dinner. Do like to go on a trip a month.
A month?
A month. Go somewhere, even if it's close, local.
All right. How much money's in your 457 right now?
I got started a little late, but there's $95,000.
That's great. What's the nature of the pension? I mean, it sounds like you really like this job. So is your intention, like, stick with this for 20 years and you know, that kind of pacing?
Yeah, we'll see. 10 is a big number because 10, they pay, you still get your pension, And then they pay half of your benefits. The big thing is if you get to 20, they cover your benefits for the rest of your life before you get to Medicare. And then it turns into a supplemental.
Yes.
So it's a big advantage.
That's huge. So when did you start this? Recently?
I am little over 5.5 years in. So I've got,
15 years to go. I love this. If you look at your other savings besides the 457, anything else that you have socked away?
So I've got an emergency fund, which has about 40,000 in it. I have a home that I bought here. And then a rental property.
Wow. Wait a second. How much is the house, your primary residence, worth?
I would say there's a house down the street sold in 7 days for $998. So I would say $950 just to be conservative.
Is there a mortgage that remains on that?
Yeah. So I owe $590 on it.
Okay. What's the interest rate on the $590?
4.5.
Not bad. And tell me about the rental property.
That's worth $400, and I have about $215 on that left, and it's at 3.5.
Okay. Now, so when you look at the $6,900 a month take home, and then what else is coming in from the rental property?
So I actually pay more towards the principal on that. So I
Why?
Do it to I want to pay it off the same year or close to my retirement year.
Notice how I left a nice like dead air moment there, because we're going to come back to that. So I hear what you want to do, but let's leave that. We're going to leave that. I'm putting a little circle next to rental, making extra payments. Are you making extra payments both on the rental and the primary?
No, just the rental right now.
Okay. What does the pension look like if you get to age 57? What would that be for you?
Yeah, so it's basically 2% at 57. So it'll be, doing the math, it'll be half of whatever I'm making at my highest salary. Mm-hmm. So half of whatever my highest salary is. And that's obviously not having to take out taxes and union fees and all that stuff.
So in today's dollars, you'd have like $75,000, right?
Yes.
Is this the kind of job that precludes you from claiming Social Security?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay, got it. All right, that's important. So we've got the 457 at 95,000. You've got your emergency reserve. You've got your home and you've got your rental property. That's about it. We have anything else that you want to talk about in terms of an asset that you own?
Nope. That's it. Besides the inheritance.
Now,
that's all.
If you look at the extra money you're putting towards the principal on that rental, can you give me about how much you think that is?
Yeah, it's not a whole lot. It's about $200 a month.
Okay, fine. So that's like life of Josh right now. Now tell us about the inheritance, then how that has changed things.
I don't know necessarily that it totally changes things. So my grandma passed away, inherited about $188,000, of that, and just looking to invest it. Not really, probably not all 188. I would like to keep maybe 15 on the side to go on trips or do something with, but definitely invest probably probably 170, and just let it sit and compound over time.
That's fabulous. Now, do you feel comfortable investing this yourself?
So I manage my 457, and you know, obviously in the last year and a half, 2 years, it's done pretty well, which.
Yeah, you kicked ass, man. You're the best.
Yeah. How could it not? Right.
Right.
So I would, you never know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, you know, maybe like a robo-advisor. I know it costs more than, you know, me doing it for free.
But you get an advisor also. I mean, you'll have enough money where you could get some advice on the side. And that wouldn't be a terrible thing for you. Not that you have a complicated situation, but it is nice to talk to somebody. I mean, look, the basic choice would be you open up an account yourself. You have just a plain old Josh individual account. And maybe you do that at, you know, Fidelity or Vanguard or T. Rowe Price, and you just manage it yourself, and you look at, maybe you look at what you're doing in that 457 plan. And maybe it's, you know, as simple as saying, I'm going to have a stock market index, an international stock market index, a bond index, and, you know, it's going to be long-term money, so I'll have it available to me. And, you know, maybe I have 70% in risky stuff, 30% more in the bond stuff. And even if you wanted to throw like a commodity fund in there and like 5% there, but like, boom, done, rebalance it once a year and go to sleep at night. Now, that's one way to do it. It's obvious that would be the cheapest way to do it, right? Makes sense, yeah. Right? And for everyone listening, when I always rattled these names off very quickly, so let me just do it a little bit slower. So the places you can do that kind of thing, like just manage your own money, would be like Fidelity or Charles Schwab or Vanguard or T. Rowe Price or E-Trade, the places where you do it yourself, cheap index funds, done. The next level beyond that is what you say, which is like, hey, wait a second, some sort of robo-advisor. And so all these big companies have a slight, for, you know, like a 0.3% or 0.25%, they will charge you money and they'll give you the automatic investing plus an advisor. And for that, you can really choose any of these. And as you said, you could look at a Betterment and you could look at all the these. All these places have their own services. And what that would do is maybe give you some peace of mind that, okay, they're holding my hand. They do the risk assessment. It's still long-term money. And it could even be that, honestly, that their investment structure would be exactly the same as you would do on your own, but you're just spending a little bit of your own money as an insurance policy that you could just talk to somebody, or maybe that you don't trust yourself right away. And so you could also do that for a year or 2 years. You know, you could start with that and then take it over yourself. It depends on how much you really feel comfortable doing it yourself, I guess. So those are your big options that I would say. And tell me, how are you managing your 457 plan and where is it held?
Yeah, so California has it. The state of California has it through Savings Plus, which is like a nationwide entity. They let us switch money from Savings Plus to Charles Schwab. Mm-hmm. So it's in a Charles Schwab account. Most of it, I would say, 33% is in a S&P 500 index.
Mm-hmm.
33% is in a large cap. And then the rest is sprinkled between Amazon, Apple, Uber, and a broad market ETF.
Is that because you have to, by law, because you live in California, own those stocks?
No. That's funny, though. I like it.
I just want to jump in. If that's the allocation, then I would just make it all S&P 500, because a separate large cap fund, I mean, that is the S&P 500. And then all the other stocks that you just mentioned, they're all within the S&P 500.
I mean, if you want to just have some fun, I was going to say the same thing, that you can just pick one of those, and then you can keep a couple stocks just for the heck of it. That's fine. Have for your fun. Less than 5% of the total, cannot be more than that. I would probably think about adding some percentage, like a 5%, to an international index fund. And I also would really consider adding some small percentage, even if it's just, I know you're young and you're single and you've got so much time, but like 10% to a bond index. And then you could replicate that in a Schwab account, an individual account, and just have it all in one place, which is totally fine. There's no problem doing that. I think that that would be perfectly reasonable. If you feel like you want to, they have intelligent portfolios. So if you want to use the Schwab intelligent portfolio, you could do that as well. But you're not going to go wrong as long as you don't screw around with it. We just don't want you to trade a lot. In that robo-advisor account or the individual account, not a lot of trading, because you have a tax liability if you have trading going on.
Yeah. And that's why I trade a little bit in the 457, just because there's no tax implications. But the other one I wouldn't touch.
Now, here's the other question I have for you. I know that you live in the state of California, which is a high tax state, admittedly. How would you feel if even though you're in the top bracket of 24%, how would you feel if we said, hey, Josh, can you swallow a little bit more in taxes? So maybe you don't make those extra payments, the $200 extra towards your principal, but you actually use a Roth retirement plan. Could you do that?
Yeah. So they let us open up so I have the 457B. I could open up a 401k Roth as well. It would be cutting it close to invest much. If I max out the 457B, it would be cutting it close monthly, but I mean, I can make it work to invest a little bit in the Roth 401k.
Is there an advantage?
I'd rather reduce the 457 right. and put more in the Roth 401k.
That's what I'm thinking. So right now you're maxing out, meaning you're putting $23,000, right? So there's no advantage for you to use a 457 instead of a 403B, right? A 401k, is there? There's no matching or anything because the pension's all separate, right?
Yes. So there's no matching or anything. So the only reason I was doing the 457 was just for, obviously for tax purposes. Mm-hmm. The Roth, So I was thinking just because of taxes when I retire, the Roth 401k would probably be something I need to start doing.
How about this? How about we start with this? I don't want to have you have a meltdown all at once, but how about we do half of the money into your 457 and half into a Roth 401k. Do that for this year. Get used to it. Let your cash flow deal with it, right? Stop making extra payments towards that principal on the rental. You don't need to do that. I promise you don't need to do that. The money is better spent paying the taxes that are going to be due and starting your Roth. And then maybe as your cash flow allows and you get used to it, that maybe next year you go all Roth. And you forget about the pre-tax because I know you're in a high tax bracket, but you're going to be in a high tax bracket. That's the weird part because you are going to have a pension. And so there's going to be real money coming in from that. And you're going to always have income from that rental property, presuming you keep it. And so I just think that since we know you're probably going to always be in a top bracket of 24%, let's pay the tax that's due. We know that that tax is going to be due. Let's pay it now where we know that it's going to be 24% in the future. I don't know. Maybe tax brackets are going to go up or maybe they're going to get narrower in terms of the income around which you can apply that rate. So I don't know. I feel like you've got a great opportunity with a Roth. You don't have to do it all at once. You're in very good shape. But I think that to get to 100% Roth would be probably in your best interest long term.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan to me. That's what I've had a friend's dad who is in, finance for business tell me the same thing. Oh, so this is just that. This is just validation.
I think you sound like you're in awesome shape. I would, like I said, I don't think you're going to make a bad decision whether you choose a robo or doing it yourself. Just, again, you can take a little bit less risk in the robo advisor or the individual account than you're taking in the 457 retirement money because you might want this money in the future. Don't sweat making extra payments on a rental. Rental properties work great with debt. Like you ever look at real estate investment trusts, the whole reason they work is because there's borrowed money that makes those assets work better. I know you have this thing in your head, I want to get rid of this debt, but you don't have to worry about it. The rental income will always be larger than the expenses of this thing. So let it run out. Use your money more wisely, maybe to pay for the tax that's due today and put your money in a Roth. I think that's a more efficient game plan. Can you live with it, Josh?
Let's do it. Thank you.
Let's do it. All right. Thank goodness. Phew, I thought I was going to push back on that, Mark. I really did. Hey, are you like Josh? Got a lot of stuff going on. I'm interested. Teachers, maybe you should all be looking at figuring out how to work at an adult school inside of a prison and pop that income up. Josh says it's a great job and there's a pension. So anyway, if you have a question about what's going on in your own financial life, an inheritance, a lump sum of some sort that fell into your lap, then give us a holler. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button. Please let us know if you'd be willing to come on the air live. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. It comes out every Friday. Mark does a great job with that. And check out our YouTube show. It's called Jill on Money, powered by The Compound. You can subscribe to us where? On the Odyssey app. It's so easy. Or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. All right. And don't forget to do something nice for someone else today. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Do you know a high schooler who is a natural leader and loves to give back to their community? The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Student Visionaries of the Year program might be the perfect opportunity. Forming strong teams to support them, Student Visionaries of the Year candidates fundraise for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This 7-week philanthropic leadership development program helps students gain valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Not to mention, it looks great on college applications. But most importantly, it's a chance for students to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on the lives of blood cancer patients and their families. Learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.